O Lord, the God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Now, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. Isaiah 41, 8. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And I'm reading this for the sake of time. It says, it was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's in James chapter 2. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And the last scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And down at verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they should deliver neither son nor daughter, they should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that thy word can thrill us. We are aware that for some who call themselves by thy name, it is a weariness, it is a duty that must be fulfilled to come and meet with the people of God and listen to the preaching of the word. We are thankful that whenever thy word is preached, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, then it is not a weariness, but it is something that we anticipate and feed upon, and our hearts are filled with gratitude. We are glad, our Father, that we read these portions, and life floods our souls. We pray that from what our brother has told us, and what we shall hear in thy will, that light shall fill our souls, and we shall be the men and women of God that thou wouldst have us to be. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and our Father, empower and prepare hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I had to read all those passages because they were alike in one respect. Could any brother tell me what that was? So diverse, and yet all of them were alike in one respect. Every one of them mentioned by name some servant of God that excelled in a certain category. Now grasp that. In Psalm 99, it says, Moses and Aaron are among his priests, and Samuel among them that call on his name. You see? He mentions names. Moses, Aaron, Samuel. And then we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about Abraham, thy friend. And we read it in Isaiah 41 and in James chapter 2 as well. And then we came over to to Jeremiah, and it said, though these two men stood before me, and it mentions Moses and Samuel, God says, my face will not be toward this city. And then we read in Ezekiel, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this city, they would deliver no one, not even their closest relatives, as in the case of Lot in Sodom, they would deliver no one but themselves by their righteousness. All right, that's most important. I'm not going to speak on all of them. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. And then I'm going to tell you, in the time that remains, about Abraham. All right, think of the categories, because God mentioned here are certain people of God, saints that excel in this category. And even though Aaron was the high priest, Moses excelled Aaron in the priesthood. He is the one that washed Aaron. He is the one who officiated at his ordination. Unlike Aaron, Aaron had sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. He had sons, and the descendants of Aaron were the priests that followed. Even though Moses, his brother, was priest, after that, he had no right, his children had no right to come in and function in the priesthood. They were but Levites. But God says Moses and Aaron are among his priests. And then it says Samuel is among them that call on his name. Now, this is delightful. Think. During the debate, a question was asked each contestant. He said, now, who is someone that has influenced your life, made a great impression upon you? And they thought, and then they expressed as best they could, certain persons that had made an impression upon them. But what do you think about God when someone says to him, tell me now, do you have any examples that you could give me of people that intercede, that pray? God says, why, of course I do. And he mentions them by name. Do you have anyone that excels in righteousness? God says, of course I do. Do you have anyone that is especially friendly with you? God says, of course I do. Now, isn't that interesting? That God looks down from heaven, and this is an encouragement to you. Because if I said, in any of these categories, do you excel? Suppose I just mentioned one. Suppose I ask you, could you fit in the category of being a friend of God? You're liable to say, no. And then I would have no other category to offer to you. But I can offer you other categories. Inasmuch as we are all kings and priests, tell me, do you excel in the category of being God's priest? You say, I don't know. Do you excel in being one who calls upon God's name? Do you excel in being one that stands before God and cries to him in intercessory prayer? Do you excel in the category of being righteous? We've heard of Enoch. He was one. But it did not speak of his righteousness, but it spoke of his walking with God, and he had this testimony borne to him before he was translated, that he had pleased God. So think of this now, that God in heaven knows his saints by name, and when he thinks of righteousness, he says, yes, I'll tell you who three of them are that come to my mind, are Noah, Daniel, and Job. Well, what about people that are constantly interceding before you? Oh, yes, Moses and Samuel. Well, tell me, who is a friend that you like to associate with, to walk in the garden with, walk through life with? He would say, why, Abraham, my friend, you see? Now, this is what is so frightening, that God looks down from heaven in our generation, and he's still looking for people to be his friend. Would he say, you're my friend, and mention you by name? You would say, I do not know how friendly I am with God. Well, tell me, how much righteousness, practical righteousness, among evangelicals, it's always, we are set apart, positionally, we are complete in Christ. Thank God for that completion. Thank God for being accepted in the beloved. But that's not what God is talking about. God is talking about practical righteousness. And I may mention this in 1 Thessalonians 4. It is not positional sanctification. It is practical sanctification. It says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That's not positional. That's practical sanctification. And when God is thinking about those that are righteous, those that live for him, he mentions certain ones by name. And so God is looking down from heaven. And here is why I wanted to read all these names and tell you about some of them. Which ones, what names were mentioned in two categories? Some brother tell me. It said Moses was his priest, and it said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. And so God is able to point to Moses as one who is a priest and is one who excels in prayer. Now, it says, Samuel is among those that call upon my name, and God says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. And so God twice speaks of Samuel as an intercessor. That is a remarkable thing. For God to know you in heaven and to say, oh yes, you mean Moses, the intercessor. Yes, I'm quite familiar with Moses. Abraham, yes, he's my friend. To have Almighty God talking about creatures in such terms. And yet he does. And so it is something to which we should aspire, because God is looking for his followers in this age the same as he looked for them in the days of Noah, and as it was before that, he looked for them. And it says in Genesis 4, that early, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now this is what is an encouragement. The Lord doesn't write down many names in his Bible, but it says this. It says, Moses and Aaron among those that are his priests. Because he could have spoken of Phinehas, the priest. He was one that thrilled the heart of God as a priest. And then there were those such as Eli, who disappointed God. And so suppose I said, God, in mentioning those priests that excel, can mention Moses, and he can mention Phinehas, but he doesn't mention Phinehas by name. Now, you are a priest. Do you excel in your function in the priesthood? And at the same time, we are told, brethren, pray for us. Pray for one another. Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed. Now, does God look down from heaven and say, well, I had long years ago, Moses and Samuel who did interceding, but now I have in Waynesville. Do you think he would mention any of you by name? It doesn't mention all that did excel in these areas, but it said Moses and Aaron among his priests. Samuel among them that call on his name. And for this reason, when Elijah said, Lord, the nation of Israel is collapsing, and I'm the only one that is faithful. And God said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Tell me one of their names. But God knew 7,000 of them. But there are certain ones, and their names are put down in this book. And right now, things are being written. Have you spoken to anybody about God today? Have you spoken with any child of God today? It says in Malachi, then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and what happened? A book of remembrance was written. God is still writing down things. And my name doesn't appear as it is in this book. may be because I have prayed to God, I have interceded to God, it may be because I have functioned as a priest before God, it may be that God is writing down things about me, and someday in heaven, I'll say, Noah, I read about you in the Bible, and he'll say, well, I've been looking at this book of remembrance that God wrote, and I read about you. Wouldn't that be brilliant? I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it would be a wonderful thing. Yes, because just as Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that's written down. And so it says in Malachi 2, they that feared the Lord, they are speaking with one another, and God wrote a book of remembrance. And so, just as the king couldn't sleep, and he said, I've got to look in the Chronicles, I've got to look in the archives, and there, in that book, he found Mordecai. And he said, call the man. He hasn't been rewarded. And in like manner, that book of remembrance is being written in heaven, and in time to come, God is going to fulfill promises to those that are written in that book, those that call upon his name. And so that is the encouragement. But here is the challenge that I want to give to you. To think of righteousness. And think of your life. I'm talking about practical righteousness. And you say, no, the Lord would not call upon me as an example of practical righteousness. Well, what about one who prays? And I mentioned this. I'll go into it later as we go on in the month, God willing. It says, Samuel among them that call on my name. But then it mentions about men standing before God. Now, there are some who pray, and there are some who intercede. All prayer is not intercession, but all intercession comes under the name of prayer. And so here are these people that are doing this. Now think, are you an intercessor? For whom have you prayed today? There are those here who have said, pray for me, and I have. Assembly, pray for me. I have. Well then, if this is so, you say, intercession, session, there needs to be so much of it. Well, would God look down at you and say, I see you interceding, just as I saw Moses, and just as I saw Samuel interceding. Why, you are among those that intercede, that stand for me. You understand? And so what you do is to go through all of these categories in the portions that I've read to you, and you say, well, God is looking for priests like Moses and Aaron, and he's looking for righteous people like Noah, Daniel, and Job, and he's looking for priests like Moses and Aaron, and you say, well, certainly, I may fail in several of those categories, but by God's grace, I'm going to try to excel in one of those categories, and I'm going to be a righteous man, and I'm going to be a praying man. And I'm going to be a friend of God, you see. So do not be one who simply thinks that salvation is everything that God does for you, and that is what Christianity is. It's just the opposite. It is having received salvation by grace through faith, it is now, what shall you do for God? And God is looking today for people to bring joy to his heart. One thing I pray for, I say, Lord, there is such a thing as a friendship like that of David and Jonathan. Send into my life, send me into the life of someone who can be a friend to me like David and Jonathan. It may be that one of you will say, well, Lord, don't make Mills one that you send into my life like David and Jonathan. But you can pray, because David and Jonathan did not always get along perfectly together. But I will tell you this. When I was mentioning these that God mentioned, can you tell me any one of them that was above reproach? It said Moses and Aaron were among my priests. Tell me, was Aaron above reproach? Who made the golden calf? Well, that doesn't exclude you then. You say, then you don't have to be perfect. Of course not. And tell me, did Moses say, here now you rebels, must we get you? Do you understand? Was Moses perfect? You say, why, no. Was Samuel perfect? to say no. He tried to make his sons judges in his old age. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If God were saying, well, I'm going to wait for a perfect man before I have anything to do with him, he would have waited until what I told you this morning, when he rent the heavens asunder, and he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But he doesn't do that. It says he knoweth our frame, that we are dust, and he will have fellowship with us, even though we are what we are. But he wants us to improve. This is what he says to Abraham. He says, walk before me, and be thou perfect, because Abraham was not a perfect man. I can tell you this, Walter. And so you say, well, every one of them had an imperfection. And that's what it says in James 5. It says, Elijah was a man of like passions. We elevate these saints of God in the Old Testament and say, well, they were beyond us. Why, I can look at some of them and say, I am beyond them in practical righteousness and in boldness. I do not know if a woman wrote me a letter, if I would read it and run for my life and sit down under a sycamore tree and ask God to take away my life. I may very well do it, but that's what Elijah did. And Elijah is set forth in Scripture in a glorious way. And so that is the encouragement, that in spite of our shortcomings, God says, I'm still looking for certain individuals who fill these categories when Moses died. I would like to find another man like Enoch that walked with me so I could take him to heaven. Have you ever heard of any special raptures lately? Well, I'm quite sure that if a man walked with God as Enoch did and pleased God, there would be a special rapture in your life. So, are you prepared to try that? I'm setting these examples before you to both show you how practical and realistic God's word is, and at the same time, how gracious God is. How imperfect you are when I come to remember the Lord with you. How imperfect I am. And so, do you see, the Lord Jesus only has the Lord's Supper with perfect disciples. I said, the Savior said, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. They were saying, hey, you're not as great as I am. I'm greater than you are. What do you mean? And who do we find stooping down washing feet? You say, the Lord Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? That the Lord Jesus will fellowship with us in spite of our imperfections. Not because of our perfections, but he would like it ever so much if we were to pray in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, if our lives were pleasing in his sight. And God would like ever so much for us to be conformed to his Son in a practical way rather than a positional way. Now, what I shall do is to tell you about one of them in particular, and that is Abraham, the friend of God. Tell me, from what I taught you the past 2 weeks, in what category do you think Abraham should be? Well, of course. God said, you're praying for Sodom, you see. Will you save it if there are only 50 there? I'll save it. 45, I'll spare it for 45. 40. And so he kept interceding with God, and God said, if there are 10 righteous there, I would have thought he would be in the category of intercessors. God says, no. Abraham is my friend. He could have, had God been pressed, hard pressed, he could say, Abraham is among those that stand before me. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, God could say, though Moses, Samuel, and Abraham stood before me. But it may be this, that Abraham excels in both categories, but he excels so much in being the friend of God that God said, Abraham, I'm going to put you in this category, and let me put Moses and Samuel in this one. Do you understand? How great that I have so many excellences and virtues in my life that God, if he chose, could talk about me this way and that way and another way. He could do that. But instead, we have to strive to have God give us honorable mention. But he does mention men by name. And that is a challenge to all of us, to be among those that God talks about. But this is the thing that frightens me. When God starts talking about somebody that excels, is it that this means that was frightened? God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there was none like him in all the world, one that escheweth evil, one? And Satan said, yes, I watch him. You see why I'm afraid? And so, Lord, don't mention my name. Don't give it to Satan. Why? Because you see what happened to Job. That's what I'm telling you. But this is a consequence of being one that God points out as being righteous. And I said this. I don't like to be talked about. I don't like to be talked about by my enemies because they never get anything right. And I don't want to be talked about by my friends because if they say, that John Mills can give you a sermon, and then you come and you give a perfectly acceptable sermon and you build it up so high, they said, well, that was just a good sermon. I was expecting a revelation from heaven. And so don't talk about me. You understand? And then if God talks about you, it may very well be that Satan is listening. And he would say, yes, does he serve you for naught? Take away everything he has. Oh God, do not talk about this. And at the same time, yes, Job, yes, I've considered him, touch his flesh. And so it's a dangerous thing to be in the high exalted position of being one about whom God talks. And yet, you understand how I'm telling you, it would be a great honor. But with that honor comes dire responsibilities and dangers, because the enemy is looking, and the enemy would pull down all of those that would bring glory to God's name. And I will simply tell you this about Abraham. When it says, Abraham, my friend, I read all three portions to you, two and quoted one, for this reason. Once it is spoken by a king in prayer. The second time it is spoken by God in encouragement. And the third time it is spoken by an author in his teaching. And so we have a king, and we have God himself, and we have an author of New Testament scripture, all speaking of Abraham. Here is Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and he is using Abraham's name in prayer. He speaks about the seed of Abraham, thy friend. And so others knew that Abraham was God's friend. There are things that you may not know that God thinks of me more highly than you do. But in the case of Abraham, even though I have not read it in the Old Testament up until now, here is Jehoshaphat. And when he's praying to God, he is in dire or circumstances, and he cries to God, and he mentions the seed of Abraham, thy friend. I'll tell you when you'll start mentioning someone who is a friend of God. It's when you're in need, and somehow you have a little relationship to this friend, and that's why Jehoshaphat is mentioning him. But then, this is most thrilling. God, in giving encouragement to Israel, he speaks about the seed of Abraham, my friend. The friendship of the Lord was with Abraham, and yet these hundreds of years later, his seed are still being blessed because they are descendants of Abraham, my friend. How important it is to be able to have children that are born in the world, like Lois and Eunice and Timothy. And then to think that perhaps because of Lois, she was a woman of God. Because of that, God brought blessing to Eunice. And then he brought blessing to Timothy. And this is the way that God did it. He did not say, Abraham, my friend, but the seed of Abraham, my friend. But notice, Jehoshaphat says, the seed of Abraham, thy friend. And God says, my friend. And James says, the friend of God. So, it will all bear much more study, but understand that God has friends, and the word friend in the Old Testament is the same root word that is translated, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And the same word that is used of Abraham's feeling toward Isaac, his son. That same word is used of God's feeling toward Abraham, his servant. And God has special ones that he loves, and by his grace that must seek to be one of the friends of God. Time is gone. That is good. Our Father, we marvel that you would look down from heaven, but humble yourself to consider it. Abraham, your friend, said, I am but dust and ashes. And yet, you said, Abraham, dust and ashes, is my friend. We thank you for your condescension, our God, and we pray that our hearts shall aspire, as you say, if anyone aspires to be an overseer. And we pray that our hearts shall also aspire to be one of these of whom we read this night. Abraham dead, Moses dead, Noah, Daniel, Job, all dead, our God. And yet, still, you want righteous ones. You want those that intercede, and you want friends. Let us, Father, fill the faces of those that have gone to be with you, that were your friends when they were on earth. And let us be spoken of from heaven as, whatever our name is, my friend. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.